Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's great to have you with us. I'm Todd Zwillick. If you're snowed in today on the East Coast, you have a great excuse to crack that new book that you've been meaning to read. You know who you are. If you're not, come on, you have to get on that New Year's resolution to read more. I see you as well. Ron Charles is here to help. He's editor of Book World at the Washington Post. He's got his picks for the very best books to read right now and in the weeks ahead as your New Year's resolution powers through January of 2018. A couple of these books are out now. A couple are coming out soon. We've got fiction. We've got nonfiction. Ron, welcome back.
Yeah, it's so nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Look, there's a lot of people, as I said, on the East Coast who are sitting with the day off with their feet by the fire, and a lot of other people out there who need to get reading, and they know it. So I've got a big list here ahead of me that you've brought. Let's start with The Power by Naomi Alderman.
Yeah, this is a remarkable novel from England that President Obama just said was one of his favorite books from last year, too. And it's a sci-fi book, it's a fantasy book, but it's really serious, and it's right on the subject of the day, which is women and power. And what the author does is she imagines that suddenly young women discover that they can electrocute people with their hands. And that changes everything. I mean, the whole power structure of the world changes. Religion has to change. Some governments in the Middle East fall immediately. All governments have to readjust. Businesses have to readjust. And it's a really clever rethinking of how power functions across gender lines. And I think it's surprising and weird and funny and sometimes horrible. I really, really recommend this book.
And the idea of teenage girls gaining new power that can alter the world has to be particularly personal to the president, the father of two girls himself.
Exactly. And you think of the Me Too, I was going to say generation, but the Me Too era that we're in now. And what would it mean if young women, you know, could fight back that way and kill their oppressors and their attackers with their own hands? It's a really startling book, disturbing in a way. And it doesn't go the way you think. I mean, she doesn't just reverse everything, because what she discovers is that power can be abused by anyone who has too much of it.
Well, that's The Power, a new novel from Naomi Alderman, some fiction. Ron, we got a text here from a listener who said, nonfiction recommendations, if you please. I've had a year to escape into fiction. I'm ready to see some credible, literate work that can help me make sense of the chaos all around us. Do you have something for that listener?
Yeah, speaking of chaos, I mean, we're all reading about Michael Wolff's book this morning, even though none of us have it.
This The Fire and the Fury.
Oh, my gosh. Or just the little excerpts I've seen. It is funny. I mean, you do laugh, but also you're a little terrified, aren't you, to think of the kind of chaos that's going on in the White House right now. I would recommend a book by David Goldfield. He's a professor in North Carolina. It's called The Gifted Generation, When Government Was Good. And what he does is he studies American politics from about the Second World War to the present and looks at a time that we can barely remember when government worked and got huge things done, really good things. So it's a story, you know, we've endured this polemic about the evils of big government for so long that we kind of forget, you know, that government used to do all kinds of enormous projects really well, and it can again if we would just, you know, let it and maybe get a better government. So I would recommend that. That's a book from Bloomsbury.
I hope it's not too terribly wistful about government in the era, let's say, of Lyndon Johnson, who, when you listen back to Johnson tapes, got an enormous amount done with really sort of deal-making, constructive politics, a time when government got things done, but a time when government marched us into the Vietnam War for more than a decade.
Oh, tremendously, tremendously controversial presidencies. He goes through Truman, Eisenhower, and Johnson. Oh, yeah, there were all kinds of mistakes being made and terrible, terrible fights going on. So, no, it's not romantic. It talks about how projects could get done even in times of tremendous contention. But now it seems like all we have is the contention and none of the success.
You have some books that are coming out soon, maybe that you can't get your hands on yet. Now, you mentioned The Fire and the Fury already at the top of Amazon's pre-order list, even though nobody but reporters have their hands on it yet.
Phenomenon.
Yeah, a huge phenomenon already, and nobody's even read it except for people with highlighter pens. But Ron, you've got some picks that are soon to come. You've got How to Stop Time by Matt Haig.
Yeah, and this is part of a trend of books I'm seeing over the next, 2 months. books about immortality. There are four of them I can think of right off the top of my head here. Matt Haig's is one of them. In his book, he imagines there's this ordinary 40-year-old man who has a very rare medical condition in which he ages very slowly. He's about 400 years old, so it's an extremely rare medical condition. And there's another book called The Immortalist by Chloe Benjamin, Eternal Life by Dara Horn, Immortal Life by Stanley Bing. I mean, what causes a culture to suddenly produce so many literary novels about eternal life, about living forever? I wonder if it's a reaction to the paranoia of our era. I'm just not sure.
Or is it that so many more of us are living to such later ages now, a population that's in its 80s?
That's true. Maybe that's it. Maybe these aren't fantasy novels.
Let's talk about Red Clocks by Lenny Zumas.
Yeah, this book is almost out. Comes out next week, and it's another really explosive feminist book. It's a dystopia that imagines the U.S. a few years from now has completely outlawed abortion, and even built what they call the Pink Wall along the border with Canada to keep pregnant women from fleeing across the border and getting abortions. It follows several different people up on the West Coast. Through, you know, what it's like to live in such a place. Many people, of course, will think of The Handmaid's Tale, but this is a Handmaid's Tale, you know, updated and extended. And frankly, when you consider what some of our politicians are proposing, perhaps not so speculative after all. I mean, all she's done really is imagine what would the country be like if some of the laws being proposed in Congress and around the country actually passed. What if the Supreme Court, you know, does tilt in a completely different way? What would it be like to live in a place where pregnant women are arrested and held in prison to make sure they didn't terminate their own pregnancies?
Ron, we're going to let you go. We got just about a minute left, but I want to give a minute to The Monk of Mocha by Dave Eggers, who, of course, was author of the hit, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius, which millions of people read. He's got a new one coming out.
Yeah, and this is a work of nonfiction, what they call creative nonfiction. It's about a Muslim American who grew up in San Francisco and goes back to Yemen to learn about its heritage and to learn about coffee cultivation. But once there, he gets trapped in the Civil War. I haven't read it yet, but everything about its description and everything I know about Dave Eggers makes me eager to get my hands on that one.
Ron Charles is editor of Bookworld at the Washington Post. Ron, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
So great to talk to you.
Well, after you've gone down Ron's list and you're done with his best reads, there are a lot of other great books to look forward to in 2018. We've been asking you what titles you're waiting for.
This is Kate Nelson calling from Harrisonburg, Virginia. This year, I can't wait for the release of Let's Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo. She's an insightful and talented writer, and I'm really looking forward to see how she tackles this. It's high time for us white people to make ourselves uncomfortable and work to dismantle white supremacy.
This is Sandy from Fair Oaks. I look forward every year to the new book by Isabel Allende because she weaves her penetrating insights about the human condition into well-developed stories of the lives of her characters.
Hi, this is Layla, and I look forward to the Steve Bannon book, particularly How Unhinged Trump Will Become. I can't wait for the ramifications.
This is Erin Olson from Vancouver, Washington. Last year, I got to read an advance copy of The Wife Between Us by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen, which I think comes out next week. It blew me away, and I can't wait to discuss it with other readers.
And we got this suggestion from a listener in Austin, Texas. I'm excited about Together We Rise behind the scenes at the protest heard around the world. In my opinion, the massive worldwide protests on the day after the inauguration was one of the most important events of 2017. We'll keep talking about books with you. Get to us with your recommendations, your rants. We want to hear from you. 8778-MY-TAKE. And if you put down your book, you can always tweet us at The Takeaway. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.